are your Twizzlers?
They're great. Listen, Charlie.
Has anything of interest happened, Macy?
Everything's going great for me.
You've had a wild ride of the past, what, 48 hours?
Not even, dude. This journey started yesterday.
You read this book in a day.
I read it between the hours of 4 p.m. and 10:30 p.m.
I knew that it had captured you when you were sending me voice notes about it at like 9:30. And I was like,
oh,
she's
yeah.
in bed by now, usually.
It. And you know, Charlie, I don't know why. This has sent me down a very big self-reflection path.
Okay. And I would like to get into that. But before we do, can we jump in and talk about what we're talking about, or are we saving this information, or what are we doing?
I think we can touch on it. I'm not going to talk about the book titles or anything, but I think we can talk about why this happened.
Let's build some hype for the upcoming series.
Yeah, and you should be hyped because I think it'll be hysterical. So basically, it was on one of our bonus-odes. I don't remember which one, but the topic of reading romance and erotica books came up
naturally.
And basically we just I don't really remember how it happened, but it was determined, hey, you know what would be really pretty great is if we started like a new video series, like very over professionally and dryly reviewing shitty erotica. And that's the plan. That's what we're gonna do.
So you have received, now we're doing a series. Is it a trilogy or is it a series? How many?
Dude, there's like 8 goddamn books.
Great. Great.
Oh, dude.
So you're reading the first.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the second. Now, just tell me what, how could this possibly have led you down a self-reflective path?
I've never read a book.
Full stop.
Like this. Mm. I've never read a book like this. I'm kind of a snob when it comes to things like sentence structure and I don't know, a vocabulary that's semi-broad. any of those things. But this was just, at its core, a loosely tied together vessel for sex scenes that featured the new age terms for sex organs. And this was my first book reading, like, first romance book that doesn't use things like phallus and sex and instead uses things like pussy and dick.
Oh.
It was really jarring.
Oh.
It was new.
Yikes.
And
I see.
I don't love it, you know?
Yeah, that makes me, something about it. I typically, if I'm gonna indulge in a romance novel, I'll go for like a historical one, and those
That's
seem
usually
to
what
be.
I like.
They seem to also have the same thing going on as far as the flowery language when it comes to the genitalia or and things of the nature.
This used all kinds of unsexy ways to refer to the bits. But here's the thing. Here's what I've been reflecting on, though, is all of that aside, I read this book almost nonstop, cover to cover, in a matter of hours.
I think you just have to admit that you like the book.
I liked it in a new way. I've never read a book that is essentially like Springer. You know, like it's essentially like garbage TV. I've never read a book like that before. So it's really opened my eyes because it had that same, like I wrote you, I was like, I feel like this, it was like watching Love Island.
Mm.
You know, it's bad. You know, it's ridiculous. You know that this is not a real concept for a show and it's just ridiculous. But at the same time, there you are.
Yes.
And you're hooked in it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it did. Even though the storyline was a mess.
Yeah, you told me
there was
twists and turns all through it.
Almost, one could say, unrealistic.
Also, and not to spoil it, because I am waiting for the full review and the breakdown of this book from you. You did send me a couple of pictures that you took of some pages.
Oh, I sure did.
Her nipples tightened. I just can't drop that.
Dude, I can't get this. I can't escape it, dude. But I especially can't escape the clit that is straining. It's straining, and I can't.
I know. I was like straining like against pants,
like the jeans.
How big? I mean, no shame, dude. But like, straining also implies it's about to break through.
And I just can't get over it. I had a great time. I look forward to this series. I look forward to breaking it down to you. I'm going to go into, because I don't, here's the thing. I don't want to spoil this for the author. I want people to read these books.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give away what all happens, but I'm going to break down the characters. I want to do a very intense character analysis of Gray, the renegade cop looking for the killer of his partner, and Faith, woman.
Okay, is that about as much context as she gets?
she gets more, but they're both pretty much cardboard cutouts, but whatever. And I want to do that. I want to go into, and that's the, I want to almost like give us new names, because we have like Rocco. I almost want these to be like turtleneck wearing, almost like the shopkeepers in Portlandia.
Oh, so we're new character. We're going into with new characters.
Yeah. I love character. Dude, I've been trying to think of the set, you know, is it because we need a set, and I'm turning upstairs into a sewing room, and I'm like, how. That's what we need. I was like, we'll set it up in the sewing room and get two and like make it. I was like, I'll get, cause that's where the guest bed is too. I was like, I'm going to get the frilliest, grossest pink bedding that's like super frilly and awful. And I'm going to put it up there. Oh. And I think that's where we can, that can be our set. And my sewing room is just going to always look like that.
Like a bad romance novel. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude. Gross.
I know. Oh yeah, I'm leaning into it. I'm gonna get like some ruffly floral pillows and shit, dude. I am alive with creativity, and I cannot discount that a lot of that came from the book that I just read.
I would like to maybe some chilled pink champagne when we talk.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe
yes.
Something chocolate, even if it's just a prop.
Oh.
We need
how
the
bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Decadent.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a little bit of treat, you know? I can't wait. And I'm going to think of a name, and I'm going to become her.
Uh-huh.
And she is going to dissect
this
book.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I want some kind of ridiculous name that she obviously gave herself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Love Sweat.
A name that, like, Roger Smith would make up for a character.
Victoria Love Sweat.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might keep that.
And it's even better if you make her, like, super drab and not at all, like, a temptress, you know?
And I'm Victoria Love Sweat. We'll have to workshop these, but
okay. Well,
be on the lookout for that.
Witch amateur hour.
I guess I'm gonna welcome to the podcast about witchcraft. I guess I'm gonna have to order the second book in the series. I thought I would have a couple of days to get around to that, but man,
no,
you moved quick. So
I'm gonna have a hard time not reading the one that you're also reading. It's listen.
You'll
understand.
We should try this a couple of different ways. I think if you withhold. And then let me get, like, give you the breakdown and give you the back, you know, whatever, my take. And then we should do one where we do actually maybe read it at the same time and just see what we like better.
Maybe book three.
Yeah.
If we decide we want to remain in this series.
Yeah.
And not move on.
Yeah. Because we could very well just be like, let's get out of this. Or we could love what's happening. So That being Listen, said,
I'm leaning towards that.
Okay. Okay.
There's a lot of material
okay.
to talk about. I have so much to tell you, Charlie. Listen. I don't. I have so much to talk about.
Well, you need to get a notebook and make notes, get your highlighters and your sticky tabs, and just tear that thing up.
I shit you not. I put sticky tabs on my pickup order.
Oh, you better there. Have. I want to see
I'm
that
I'm taking
thing.
This serious as Filled the out. Plague.
Well, I can't wait. I really goddamn can't wait. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And just be on the lookout for that. And as long as we're making announcements, I'm gonna make one here at the top. We're going to start a new Facebook group for those of you interested. I guess we could also probably tie in Instagram somehow. I don't know how. We'll figure it out. But we're going to do a WBAH clothes swap group on Facebook. And, you know, for those of you who are interested in slowing your role when it comes to fast fashion. And also a couple of people I've talked to, much like myself, when you donate clothes, you've attached like a little personality to them. And they're like a little being. And like when you donate it, I want to know it goes to a good place. So
I get that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be sad and unused. I want someone to want it. But anyway, just be on the lookout for that. On Wednesday, it'll be up. What else? Do we have more announcements?
We have a lot more announcements, actually, because today we need to announce what exactly we're going to be doing next weekend.
Oh, are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, because we're going to talk about the place.
Okay.
Which is going to be very, I think I can pull it up on my computer. But yeah, so we need to go ahead and announce it.
Okay. Well, in our long like preparation for the Halloween spooky zone, really taking time, really getting shit together. Cause it's an affair and we've decided to embrace that.
Yeah. It's our annual production, like our extravaganza.
Yeah. 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 It's going to snowball out of control. I'm sure somehow as the years go on. But this year, Macy and I, a segment that we will be doing for the spooky zone is actual real life paranormal investigation.
Yeah, and this isn't going to be like our like previous bullshit attempts of like
just us. This is
not really doing it very much. Like we're going with like a crew, and I can't wait to see the dynamics of this crew in action. But we're going with Jordan, so that already just like to me ramps up. Like
yeah,
everything.
Jordan Moon and Phoenix
and John.
And are they all the like psychic representation?
I know for a fact that Jordan and Phoenix are. Mm. But I'm not sure about John. And so there. But then also, who's going to be at this place? Which we're going to talk about the place in a second. Is Lone Star Paranormal Research out of the DFW area? And they've got like all the gear.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be with people who know what they're doing and who know what all of the gadgets and gizmos do and how to work them. And then there's going to be that other side with Jordan Moon and Phoenix and everybody doing the psychic stuff. And then Macy and I will be there, taking up space.
Taking up space, breathing in oxygen that is better used by them and not us. Mm. But it will be an experience. And Jordan is gracious enough to kind of be offering to guide us through this experience. And I'm very excited. I'm very anxious. And because also, like, we need to talk about the location.
Yeah, let's talk about where it's location. At. Yeah.
So
this is big fat hot news.
Oh yeah, man. It's a real treat. Like it's a real opportunity that we're being given. So
which is why you're jumping on it. Because otherwise, I feel like if it wasn't such a great opportunity, you would be like maybe not as keen to do what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also like, and I told her this, like I was like on the phone with her and I was like, Jordan, the fact that you're gonna be there makes me not worry about it like as much. So, you know, it's okay. But So we have been invited, cordially invited, to investigate Fort Walters. And so this is in Mineral Wells, Texas. But what makes this real fun is that this year, Fort Walters is like a haunt park called Texas Scare Grounds. And it opens on October 1st. Again, it's in Mineral Wells. And so it's like going to be a haunted house. Like when we, you know, go and like, it'll be operating as a haunted house and then we're going to go investigate after it shuts down. But that just adds so much like cool to it. And y'all need to go because they're just opening there on October 1st. Like they're opening up and y'all need to go to this place.
If you're a Halloween lover, if you're a Halloween aficionado, appreciator, I highly encourage that you check it out because it's a fucking scare ground, dude. Do you know how long it's been since I've been to like a scare ground type thing?
I haven't since high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might be what I'm most nervous about over the ghost investigation.
You said that, and that blew my bird a little bit. Can you go into that?
I don't do well with jump scares.
Yeah, same though.
I feel like I'm already just preparing Jordan for my inevitable failure on this evening. Because I'd just be like, well, I'm just a little concerned about this. Or I'm just like about me. Like today, I was just like, I'm a little bit concerned. I asked her, I was like, do you ever just feel scared? Do you just ever feel scared?
And did she just say no?
She was like, well, yeah, you know, but she was like, also, I'm just like always in this, you know, but. And, you know, I was just like, I'm just terrified that, like, something's going to happen and I'm going to unleash the longest, filthiest, nastiest string of expletives right when Lone Star Paranormal Research is trying to record the juiciest EVP that's ever been recorded.
Yeah. It'll be an EVP that, like, we'll hear with our bare ears, our naked ears. And it's like, hi, my name is Joseph. I'm a spirit who passed away and I am absolutely undeniable proof of ghosts and an afterlife. But it'll be covered up by you going, fucking shit.
Is that a fucking woman?
Yeah. Or it's just like the thud you make when you do your like I'm scared goat fall thing that you do.
That's what I'm concerned about. So I know there's going to be a lot of time. So here's the thing I do want to talk. There's two haunted houses on the Texas Scare Ground.
Texas Scare Ground.
And also an oddities museum, which I keep hearing about, and I'm all about an oddities museum.
Oh.
I can't wait for the oddities museum.
Oh. Dude, and what's cool is we're going, when we're going, it opens October 1st, but we're going at a different time, I think, or we're getting there pretty early, right? Like,
we're going in early October.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're getting there early in the day as well. So we get to like see the actual park itself and go do the oddities and shit like that. And then they're going to shut down everybody but us and the investigation team and Jordan's team are going to leave and we're there by ourselves. And this is, as Macy has put it, pretty virgin territory.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it has only been, and we're going to be like the third time it has been investigated, I think, or the second, and it will be by the same people plus us.
Yeah.
So it's essentially very fresh property, and we're going to interview Lone Star Paranormal. And I'm excited for that. We're going to put their socials and stuff in the notes below. They've actually already posted some of the evidence that they've gotten from this property, including
a
crisp fucking EVP that it was like audible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
You know that scene in Bug's Life when that locust or that grasshopper just jumps out of his skin and he leaves the skin flake nastiness behind?
Is that
I'm
gonna be
worried
you?
That's going to happen to me.
You're just going to molt?
Yes, immediately. But I won't have new skin. It will just be flesh exposed.
Fucking muscle tissue.
It'd be awful. I don't know what my brain is gonna do in a moment like that, because I do believe in ghosts, but like that's something serious. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, you can believe in something as much as you want, but anytime there's that moment of reconfirmation. It's just like anything, like in witchcraft, like anytime you do something that makes you go, oh shit, I'm not just playing around with herbs, you know, like, and you have that moment of, oh, what I'm doing here is real. And same thing with ghosts, you know, when it happens, you already believe, but you're like, oh wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to find out how this is all going to go. I can't wait. We're going to. So again, this is Texas Scare Grounds, and it's going to be in Mineral Wells. And they are 7 p.m. to midnight every Friday and Saturday in October, as well as Halloween. And y'all hit it up.
Start your spooky season off right, dude.
Yeah. This is, you know what? It's. I feel like after last Halloween, not being able to really be anything at all, like, I'm honestly, like, as nervous as the haunt park makes me, I'm also like, you know what? Fucking lit. Yeah. Let's, like, go to a haunt park.
Yeah.
Like,
wear your mask, be safe, do all of the things.
Yeah, of course,
still.
Absolutely.
But you know, you can enjoy your spooky season, which I am so ready for this year. Yeah. And speaking of this time of year, I was inspired by this time of year for my topic today. I just kind of looked out onto the grounds and saw something bursting forth from the earth. And that's what I've gone with today. And I'm talking to you about black-eyed Susans.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them a lot. I just think they're very cute.
I thought you said, I love him.
I just love Black-Eyed Susan.
Yeah.
I am talking to you today about topaz.
Oh! Mm. I can't believe we've not covered topaz, my dude.
I know. And topaz was surprisingly interesting. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the topic.
Ass.
And I'm just like, topaz is like, it's one of the first stones I knew because my mom had, like, she had this, it's like her birthstone, or it's not, it's sometimes a birth, it's oftentimes a birthstone for November, but sometimes also is for December. And I remember she had, like, that was her birthstone. That was the one that was, like, to her, it was topaz, and she had, like, a topaz ring and whatnot. I just always remember topaz.
But before we go any further, we've got a Patreon shout out segment. Mm. Today's Patreon shout-out segment goes to Astral Hex.
Astral Hex?
Astral Hex.
First one off the dome. It's got to be that one. I'm never gonna Astral Hex. Guilty feet have got no rhythm.
I'm never gonna Astral Hex. No, I'm not a fool. Thank you, Astral.
Should have known better than the Astral Hex.
And waste a chance that I've been given.
Oh, greatness.
Oh, thank you, Astral Hex. Okay, well, then I'm going to start off by talking about a little friend of mine called Black-Eyed Susan. Or Rudbeckia hirta. Now, I'm going to run through that. That's Rudbeckia space hirta. Hirta comes, like, the meaning of hirta, it means hairy.
Cute.
And it's called that because of the little hairs on the stems and the parts of the plants. Got those little teeny tiny kind of pokey hairs. But I really just love that there's a whole, I mean, I know there's a whole word for hairy, but I love that somebody just looked at it and they're like, yeah, that's hairy. Let's call it hairy. It is a member of the Asteraceae family, which I...
Yeah, it and everyone else.
Yeah, the asters. And here's some AKAs for you. We got Black-Eyed Susan, Brown-Eyed Susan, Yellow Ox-Eye Daisy, Brown Betty.
Brown Betty?
Yeah. Brown Betty! Gloriosa Daisy. Golden Jerusalem, no. English Bullseye, and Poor Land Daisy.
I think that's rude.
That's kind of shady.
Damn it.
And it doesn't necessarily grow in poor lands, like shitty soil. It likes to grow in pastures and at the edge of woodlands and in prairies. It likes a really well-drained soil. It can take a bit of heat, likes a little bit of heat, and it can withstand a drought really, really well. But there are some places it does live in that it has acclimated to the cold. It attracts bees. It attracts butterflies. And it's highly deer resistant.
Deer hate this one yellow flower.
Stupid. The seeds of Black-Eyed Susan are poisonous. Do not consume them. Also, don't let your cats suck on them because it is toxic to cats when eaten. So some history of the Black-Eyed Susan, or as I will be calling it from now on, Poor Lands Daisy. Or what was it?
Poor Land Daisy.
It is native to North America, particularly Central North America, as well as parts of China. But now it's been, God damn it.
I was about to.
I know. I could feel it.
I was feeling it.
We haven't done that in so long, but I just knew in that moment.
Well, and you did it in front of everyone to me. You broke the truce in the live. And so I feel like that allows
things to wake
back up again.
I feel like this was an unspoken truce. I feel like we never agreed.
Yeah, but you know we did.
It has since been naturalized pretty much all over North America as a continent, and it is found in Canada, pretty much in all places in Canada, as well as all of the lower 48. So traditionally, it's used for snake bites by the Chippewa as well as Cherokee people, and it is the state flower of Maryland, which is cute. And the the Victorian language of flowers, Black-Eyed Susan carries a meaning of justice, which is pretty fucking badass.
Yeah, it is. I'd be kind of like, I would see it show up on my porch and be like, oh God, what did I do?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you're like the flower delivery person back in the day, you know, and you drop that off and you're just like, oh shit.
These guys are in for it.
So, you can make a tea out of the roots. And this is good in a mundane sense for washing of sores and scrapes and bug bites, even earaches. I saw you trickle a little in your ear if you make a little decoction. You can also make an astringent out of it to treat sores and swelling. It has astringent properties, stuff like that, but one of the main things with the Black-Eyed Susan is it looks a lot like echinacea, or what do some people call echinacea around here? Coneflower, I think?
Yeah, coneflower.
And they look very similar. They're like a different color, and there's some very slight differences. However, they're related to each other, and they carry a lot of the same medical properties or medicinal properties, as well as their metaphysical properties. I even saw in some places that you can use Black-Eyed Susan to fight, like, it has even more of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Immune boosting, like the immune boosh. Why, is mercury is in the microwave today. which, dude, by the way, all of those make me laugh. All of them make me laugh.
I know, all of the, like, replacement, like, yeah. Words, like, yeah, I know, they're great.
Mercury is in the Gatorade or whatever. Some places say that lazy-eyed Susan, nope, black-eyed Susan. I was thinking of a lazy Susan. Excuse me. I swear I'm going to get this out. There were some places I saw that said Black-Eyed Susan is even more powerful in stimulating the immune system than echinacea, which is like the big thing that echinacea is known for. If you do this, please get this from like a food grade place or be really smart, you know, refer to our disclaimer. The seeds are poisonous. Be careful. Anyway, you can also, well, I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if I would recommend this for today, but traditionally or in the past, it was used for intestinal worms, which is like a weird thing that's been coming up lately.
It's just metal. It's amazing that we forget how, you know what, I think we can get a little comfortable every now and again in, you know, the comforts that many of us live in, and we can forget that issues like intestinal worms were super commonplace.
Just coming out of your butthole.
Mm-hmm. It's whenever they wanted, coming and going as they please.
Worms up inside you.
Finding an entrance.
Where they can.
Where they can.
Anyway, people would use it for their intestinal worms. That's a weird thread that has connected my past couple of topics. Like intestinal.
There's been several wormy. Oh,
yeah. And I don't think I've ever had it this much. Like, so I'm wondering if the universe is like, Charlie, you have worms. Please get that taken care of. Anyway, so like I said, topically, it's good to like kind of soak in a tea and then for like cuts, sores, swelling, stuff like that, because it has antibacterial properties. But speaking on the antibacterial effects, the antibacterial properties of this plant, it is particularly effective in what, like the thing, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a virus or what, but the thing that causes tuberculosis. It contains some of the same stuff found in like a not over the counter, but like medical grade. I don't know how to say this, like modern day medicine kind of stuff for TB. TB is not very, it's not all over the place like it used to be. But that's interesting though, that it has that same compound found in it. Mm-hmm. And it's also shares some properties with like cough medicine and like respiratory infection medicine and stuff like that. And I like when the plant and the like actual hardcore chemicals, I like when they cross over.
Yeah.
Metaphysically, Jupiter is the planet of Black-Eyed Susan. I don't know much about Jupiter, dude. I was thinking like how little I know about the planet. Like I know Mars is for fighting, Venus is for fucking. And Neptune's my favorite because it's pretty. That's all I know about.
And Mars is sometimes also for fucking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's for fight fucking.
Yeah, like lusty fucking.
Angry fucking. Hate fucking.
Oh.
Was that the kind of... was there Mars energy in that book that you read?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I know every picture you sent me, it was just this dude like antagonizing the one, and she would just be so mad about it.
She literally couldn't get away from him. She tried to go on like a private venture or a private vacation 3 times, and he shows up all 3 times.
It's fate, my dude.
I would be so, 1, alarmed, 2, livid, and 3, just like over it by this point. Like, get away from me.
Did he? Well, no. You know what? Don't tell me anything about the book. Don't tell me any more about the book. I want to ask questions, but I will ask none.
I'll have all your answers whenever it's time.
All in good.
Did I tell you there's a random weird for no reason? Like it only takes up like 30 pages, but like a sex club.
Why?
Like a high end Bentley driving iron gate sex club.
What a weird thing to put in that book. Because it doesn't seem. Like that's the kind of book. This isn't like an Anne Rice, you know, hardcore novel, right?
She's curious about the more submissive type practices.
Okay. So the planet it's tied to is Jupiter. The element is associated with his air. The metaphysical uses are pretty broad. However, there is a really specific twist to like legal issues, which would make sense for the Victorian language. Like it's about justice. You can do it in justice work. I saw something somewhere that said interrogation. So I don't know. It of course is good in the way that a lot of plants are good. It's good for cleansing. It's good for grounding. But it really shines in those justice and legal issues. It's good for breaking down of obstacles in front of you and also strengthening any spell that you add it to. So it's a pretty powerful little dude. And a lot of it is symbolism, like the way the plant grows. The plant grows in kind of this in soil that can be kind of tightly packed. And the roots, dude, they just drill through it. They just don't care. They'll grow through anything. And there's a lot of symbolism in that about breaking.
Yeah, we're breaking free.
What is that? What are you saying?
Soaring, fly,
oh God!
Yeah.
Stop.
There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach.
Stop it. I hate. I don't like that song.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. I don't like it. Anyway, removing obstacles. Drilling through the hard soil. I mean, it's pretty on the news about what. So as far as symbolism goes, it's pretty on the nuggets about what it's about. Removing obstacles, drilling through the hard soil. It is also one of the plants that is said to bridge the divide between the light half and the dark half. It's a very quick, like, it's not around for a long time. It's got a very short growth window. But it is resilient. It comes back every year. It self-seeds, and it just does sort of really good wherever it's planted. And right in the time where we're switching over from summer to autumn here in the North Hemisphere, which I guess there has to be. I didn't read anything about it being in other places because I just read this as like it's really, really focused in like the continent of North America and some places in China, but like that's all I saw about it. So I don't know if it's like a Southern Hemisphere thing, but you know, symbolism, blah blah blah. The plant also represents the sun, so if you're doing sun magic or trying to represent certain deities or even doing spells for like warmth and happiness or anything else the sun can kind of represent to you. And if I would have known that was the end of my notes, I would have used a different inflection when I said that.
Oh, okay. Good. So, you know what? I love a good Sopranos ending.
Yeah, yeah. You just quit. Over.
Over.
And I'm done now. Let me, hold on. I would do something more like, and you can use it to represent the sun in anything that you do.
Very final.
Yeah. I like the Soprano thing better, though. Did you watch The Sopranos?
I was too young. I mean, too young for sure when it started. Probably on the verge of too young, depending on how like open your family was to that stuff. I watched a lot of stuff that I was not sheltered, I guess you should say. In my
right, right. Your mom like wasn't that. Like clockwork oranging you into watching adult things. Like you, it would just no. it was okay. You could handle it.
Yeah.
Although I would love to think that that's what your mom was doing.
So we're going to take like a topic break and we have two review ads to talk about. And I hope that you'll listen to these. I really want you to, because one, these are like just fun conversations, but like these are really good. Like we have some good things like that we've tried, two good businesses that are sponsoring this episode. And we're gonna talk about them.
I have been bursting to speak on both of these things today. I have been bursting to talk about it. So the first one that we're gonna talk at you probably at length about is Crane and Moon Tarot.
So if that sounds familiar to you, it is because they have previously sponsored an episode. They
friend
are
friend of the show.
Friend of the show. So we previously had tarot readings done by Crane and Moon Tarot, and very much enjoyed them. And I was very excited when she wrote us back again to work with us. And what I like about my readings so far, like 2 for 2 now with Sarah, is that they're very, I ask very practical questions typically, and I get very practical responses, and I love it. Oh, I love it. It's so good. And so I went into this one, and again, she did her wonderful little candle opening, space creating spell that I just really, again, it's all about the care. You know, the little things that you can do to make it comfortable, because it was very comfortable in her little space.
It's so thoughtful. Space. She's so thoughtful.
She had that beautiful tapestry, and she was like color coordinated with it in like this beautiful sweater. And I was just like, oh my God. But I kind of asked, you know, like one of the things that I've been chewing on, what, and we've talked about it, was like going into shadow work. And I was kind of thinking of, you know, maybe taking that on this winter, and then especially after Anahata's, and that's just a place that stirs up, you want to delve in and you want to start doing that. And I've kind of been like I want to just like hit the ground running and really start, you know, book that shadow reading with Amber Energy Services, you know. And I asked that, I was like, should I do that, or should I just, I did learn a lot and I've processed a lot, and memories came up in moments of Anahata's, and I grew a lot in that time. Is that enough for now, and should I just enjoy the winter and process what I've already done and then pick it up in the spring? That was the question. And it was a very clear, take this on in the spring. Like it just like, enjoy this for just a bit, you know, like you don't got to do the thing you always got to do, you know, you don't have to just overdo it. So it was very crystal clear as always. And I just left it like, all right, good. And I just, like with the last one, and not like with a lot of things that I do, but like I just kind of have this like, okay, yeah, so that's that. Like I just believe it. I'm like, all right, because it was so spot on.
And I just want to kind of touch on how intuitive I think Sarah is.
Oh yeah.
Not even just with the reading, but I mean in like an intrapersonal kind of way, because I feel like both times that I have had a reading with her, she approached me in a very gentle way and less of that like straightforward practicality, you know, yada, yada. You know, again, that's why I appreciate especially like the closing, the little closing ceremony she does where she kind of talks you down, because you don't realize how high up you can get, that you can get really in your own head and kind of in the clouds. And, you know, and I think she felt that. And could kind of bring it back down to earth. And again, to just kind of touch on the care and what an amazing reader she is. In my reading, it was different from my first, because the first time I didn't know what to expect. I was like, you know, she says, do you have any questions, or do you have anything like specific, or is this like a general? I was like, let's go for general. Let's see what that's all about. This time I was talking about personal things happening in my life, things that like are transformative to me right now, and may I say deeply personal also, you know. And while that was hard in itself to do, like the grace and the class that she brings to it paired with the reading, which by the way, we did a four card spread, and every card related to each other in a perfect manner.
Yes.
And she was able to like find the through thread of it all. You know, whereas if I'm pulling for myself, I could probably do one card, maybe two, like the second card's my clarifier. But to do multiple ones and to find the undercurrent, like the theme of it all, it is something that I just feel like you need a special gift to do.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a comfortable experience. I highly recommend it to anyone. If you've had them done before, or if you've never had one, go for it. It was way more comfortable than I expected. And she is very gentle. She's very calming. She's got a nice calming voice. And at the same time, she has a good control and just kind of amplification of the energy. The energy in those readings are always very high. I can feel it, you know, and that's through many miles. So I think that just kind of speaks to that and just kind of her overall mastery of the reading environment.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And if anything is holding you back, I will say from my end, if you're scared because you've never done it, dude, the first time I did it, I'd never done it. And she just laid it out so step by step, went slow. It wasn't scary. It wasn't overwhelming is what I'm trying to say.
So if you want to book a reading, I encourage it. Again, that is Crane and Moon Tarot. You can find them over on craneandmoontarot.com. And on craneandmoontarot.com, you can kind of look into the bookings and what she offers and all of that jazz. And give it a go. See how it works for you.
Link is down in the description.
And so we're coming up. We've got another sponsor that blew my fucking gourd. Like, I got over it.
Your gourd.
Blew my gourd.
Okay, dude. We were sent some slapping mugs from Cat Cave Studio.
Seriously spectacular. And so I Cat Cave Studios, like, or studio, like, their work. I follow them on Instagram. They are so good. They are so good. They make such good work. And I just can't get over. So she recreated our cauldron logo with the play button, like the black cauldron logo. It's this beautiful with the most elaborate, oversized, loud ass handle.
Can we talk about the handle? Can we talk about the handle?
Love it. And it's glossy and it has our name, like with like mine has suns and Charlie has snowflakes like on the handle, like stamped in. And then to top it all off,
literally,
she made these lids that fit and they're covered in with little fake. They're covered in little baked beans with little faces.
They have faces.
It's the sweetest thing I've ever seen. And I was so overjoyed when I opened it.
And the fact that, first of all, what an amount of work to make all of those beans, dude. It speaks to the overall quality of this thing. And the thing is it's like it's glossed really well.
Oh,
all of the colors. Gorgeous. Look amazing. Everything that was done so well, dude. And each of the beans has that little face. And you pointed out, like, just looking at, going through, there are some that look super happy. And there are some that look almost concerned.
Yeah, they're all different.
Yeah. And that says so much to me when somebody will do a little cheeky, a little funny bit like that. It really...
She also, in the box, sent an 8-ounce can of baked beans.
Shut up. Dude, I can't, I don't know. I'm so drawn to like people who do things and they do things with like personality. It's so good.
Yeah. And she sent us a little bit about herself and I'm going to give it a little read. Kat is the sole maker of Cat Cave Studio in Dallas, Texas.
Oh,
she's a neighbor. She specializes in hand-thrown, one-of-a-kind pieces that are inspired by all things magic and fantasy. Seriously, y'all should follow her on Instagram. It's Cat Cave Studio. She does such cool shit. All of her pieces start out as little blobs of clay before they are manifested into functional works of art. She carefully and thoughtfully creates individual pieces, getting them just right, sharing a bit of herself with each one, similar to a Horcrux. But don't fret! No dark magic is practiced in the making of these mugs. She likes to think her mugs are bewitched with all the happiness and joy she puts into making them, which in turn gets wondrously transferred to the user. Nothing brings greater joy than seeing her pieces adopted by those who use and appreciate their magical properties daily. So you can follow Kat on Cat Cave Studio on Instagram you can follow her on Instagram at Cat Cave Studio. Because here's the thing. Friday, October 1st, it's coming in just like a couple of days. She drops her like fall spooky themed collection.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
And if you're interested in seeing these cute, these sweet, these perfect, these handle having mother trucking mugs that we've got, we will put a picture of these on Facebook, on Instagram, stuff like that, because the world needs to see them. And I would love to just point out a couple of little beans on the top in particular that I have given personalities to.
And
something that you said just now about the creations bringing happiness. I can't so much as look in the direction of that mug. I'm looking at it right now without just being like, oh.
It's incredible.
It is charmed.
And to top it all off, she sent us an extra one of these. This one's different. Yeah, I know. And it's going to be, we got a giveaway. Oh. We haven't had a giveaway in a long time.
In a while.
And so this one's a little different. It doesn't have like the logo and whatnot. It's just one of these black, beautifully large handled, glossy cauldron shaped mugs, but it's got a little bean lid. Awesome. And so whoever wins this giveaway at any given time, we might all be three drinking out of our mugs at the same time with our bean lids. And how cute is that?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
So we are going to announce the giveaway today. There's going to be pictures. You can take a look at the mug. It's super cute. She sent pictures. And so basically, just like the previous giveaways, you need to comment on the picture, and you also need to like Cat Cave Studio on Instagram as well. To run, so it's coming out, or we're announcing it the 29th today, or today's this is launching on the 29th, and we are announcing the winner of the giveaway on October 6th, so 1 week.
It's been 1 week since we announced the giveaway.
Yeah, man. And I encourage y'all, check it out. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful work. It's a nice mug. Like, it's a nice mug.
One thing I want to tack on the end here, it's a big mug. And it has a lid, big mug. So it's going to hold a lot of coffee, and it's going to keep it hot. And plus, like, ceramic mugs always, like, I feel like get hot and keep your shit hot. All of the information for this, again, is going to be down in the description box. Links, Instagrams, and don't forget, check our Instagram for that giveaway.
Don't forget, the Cat's Spooky Collection drops October 1st at 6 p.m. So get in on that, because they're going to be great.
Just, like, looking at the style of these, I'm already imagining the cute Halloween-y, spooky stuff that's going to come out.
I know.
I'm so excited.
She gets things so smooth.
I don't understand.
So smooth.
It is smooth and glossy.
I know.
Back to the show.
We could gush all day. But yeah, y'all, again, so our two sponsors this week, we got Crane and Moon Tarot and Cat Cave Studio. Please, support them. They support us. And we support y'all. Everybody supports each other.
Everybody's supporting. We're a big group of supporting motherfuckers.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of, except not really at all, just kind of getting back into the swang. Dude, I cut my neck on my seatbelt. Okay. Have you ever done that?
I've gotten a red mark, but no, I've never cut my neck.
It was like
my seatbelt.
It was the edge, I guess, was just perfectly aligned to where I like pulled on it to loosen it. It just sliced into my skin, and I've got like a paper cut esque cut on my neck, and it stings real bad.
Could have just cut your whole head off.
I could have absolutely decapitated myself, Leonardo decapriated myself. I'm ready to hear about topaz.
I'm going to talk to you about topaz, and I wrote it again. I wrote my notes like I did in the live show in big fucking paragraphs again. I don't know why I do this. So first, let's talk about where the word topaz comes from. So it comes from the Greek word topazios. So it sounds very fancy. Topazios. So that is a small island, Topazios. It's a small island in the Red Sea. And what's interesting is that there was a whole bunch of gemstones and whatnot found there, but it seems that topaz was actually not one of the ones found, ironically. So the stone that was actually there was peridot. And that was what was Peridot? Peridot. With like the, that was what they were finding.
It's so, August birthstone.
Yeah. And it, well, is it really? I guess I should know that. We've done an episode on Peridot, haven't we? What year is it? I don't know.
Moldavite.
So it's like name kind of got confused. Like the greenish color of the peridot was kind of confused for topaz. So it was named for topaz, but it wasn't topaz at all.
Great.
However, it stuck. And so the name just kind of stuck. And topaz is named after an island in which no topaz came from.
I love when mistakes like that happen.
Yeah. Weird historical origins, like the wolf peach shit, you know, that's just like, what?
Or like ivy soap, you know, just, or like the microwave, the chocolate bar just melted in the dude's pants. Like,
what?
You know, the dude, like, the dude who I think essentially went on to like harness the power of microwaves to be used as like a kitchen device, like had a chocolate bar in his pants. And got hit up with some of these, and it just fucking melted the chocolate bar. And I guess he was like, oh, light bulb.
Huh. Hmm. There you go. I've never heard that in my life. That's an inconvenience, though. I'd be really upset.
I'm sure he made a lot of money. I think it's probably fine.
But will all of that money equate to how good that chocolate bar would have been?
Would have been.
At just the right moment.
Or how much he loved those, you know, fucking JNCO jeans he was wearing. Can you imagine, dude, if the person who invented the microwave always was just like, God damn, I wish I would have never done that so I could have eaten that chocolate bar.
I know. Like, I mean, seriously, like, what if it was their favorite kind of chocolate bar? And they were discontinuing it. And by the time that one melted, all of the other ones had been sold. And that was his last opportunity to have eaten that chocolate bar forever.
This is a very sad story you have created today.
Yeah. So point being, you never know what people are going through.
Uh-huh. Topaz.
So the Egyptians were into it.
Okay. All right.
It had some interesting uses for Egyptians. One of them was that they thought that perhaps this stone had the ability to protect against poison.
Oh.
So it was like seen as like a poison tester stone. And if it changed color, it indicated poison. But since I don't think that can happen, I wonder how many people died of poisoning because they were relying on that.
Not a good indicator.
Yeah, I don't think so. And so that was it was like a thing that people would possess. It seems to have been associated with the sun god Ra, probably especially for the very yellow hues that a lot of natural topaz can have, very bright yellow tones and kind of golden and even orange. There's a whole bunch of colors. We're going to get into that. Topaz comes in a whole bunch of colors, but like not all of them are real, you know? So in talking where topaz comes from, the big boy on campus is Brazil. Brazil has got all the good shit. It's got all the sweet ass natural colors that are rare. Mm. It's got the pink, which is super special, and red and violet. And so it's got the fancy, pretty colors. Sri Lanka also has a good amount of topaz, but more the clear variety, the colorless variety, which is then changed oftentimes to colors via man made things.
Liars.
I know. So There's other sources, all over the world. You have Australia, India, Mexico, Namibia, Russia. So it's kind of all over the place. In the U.S., there is some topaz. It seems Utah has a little bit, and because of that, it's the state gemstone.
Oh,
it was, yeah, that was decided in 1969 in Utah.
Nice.
So topaz is pretty popular. It's a very popular, like, costume jewelry type stone.
I've had it.
Oh, for sure. It's pretty. Mm-hmm. It's a really pretty stone. And it gets a lot of this popularity from being in the kind of like the Rat Pack of birthstones. You get a good commercial push if you're in that list. You know, it's where you got your opal, your emerald, your garnet.
Oh.
You know, like all of them live in there pretty comfortably. And topaz is on that list. And it is the birthstone for the month of September. But blue topaz often gets associated with the month of December, the birthstone for December.
Blue topaz always makes me think of the, like, gym show network or the home shopping network, they are holding it with tweezers on a black background. You know, they're, you know, these are going fast.
I want to say that a lot of those mimics of the heart of the ocean were made of blue topaz.
Oh, fuck. Remember those?
Oh, do I ever. Everyone had one.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who didn't wanted one.
Oh, yeah. I remember they sold them at a Kroger.
So all of that is to say, you can't really walk into a grocery store. You can't hardly walk into a jewelry store and they won't have topaz. Like, they're going to have one of those little, like, kiosks or little Lazy Susans that has a birthstone
Black
section. Yes. And with all the pendants and the rings
Lazy-eyed
Susan. You know, just kind of rocks around in an uncertain manner.
You want some topaz?
So, it does come in a lot of natural colors. And the natural colors, however, they're pretty rare, some of these. You know, not as much more rare than you would think, considering how commercially available topaz is. And it is because a lot of this is done through people making it change colors. But it comes from very rare and valuable, like the yellows and the oranges. Some of the orange sometimes being called imperial topaz.
Oh.
There's pink, there is purple, and blue. So it does, blue topaz is a natural color. However, the majority of topaz on the planet is colorless, sometimes kind of brown or like a pale yellow, kind of not pretty colors. Mm. So while they're not really important for jewelry in that state, they can be chemically treated or treated in a variety of ways that can produce different colors. And there's, like, different methods of treatment that determine the color. So really highly regarded colors, reds and pinks, they get their colors in nature for real from chromium. And it's also where the kind of violet hues and purple hues can come from in topaz, which are very rare and valuable if in the natural state. And so what's interesting in the treatment for blue topaz is, I thought this was kind of metal. So it basically gets irradiated.
Lit.
So basically colorless topaz via some sort of radiation treatment turns to blue, and it changes the color and it turns blue. However, it is, like, radioactive when it happens after this. Like, it is radioactive material. However, the radiation declines as soon as the treatment is complete, apparently. Oh. And eventually it continues to decline until it is safe for it to be handled and, like, sold to the public.
So they and just, so there's like, put it to the side until it's ready?
There's, like, places that it gets stored after production, and it's like transported, and it's all very regulated. Like there's like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is really looking at all of this and making sure that the irradiated gems are being stored how they need to be so the radioactivity can decline and that it's safe for manufacturing and sale and whatnot, so people aren't getting irradiated with their fucking blue topaz. So
with their QVC blue topaz earrings.
Yeah, they're blue topaz. So there are other ways of treatment to get different colors. If you want pink or like purple hues, which are super rare in like the real world, whatever, nature. But they're produced like in a lab. It seems somewhat easily to me. I say that without knowing for sure, but it seems to me like it, because basically they cut it how they want it and then they heat it. They get it hot and then coat it with this layer of metallic oxide, which gives it a pink color. And it seems like eventually this coating, like you can, it'll wear off.
Ew.
Like, but it's just coated and okay. turned pink via heat and coat. So there's another like metallic oxide that can give it like an iridescent luster. This apparently commercially is called Mystic Topaz.
Shut up.
And so as you're looking at it, it has that iridescent quality of changing color. And this, again, these can be, this coating is a coating and can be worn off over time, especially like near where the fittings are on the stone that are just holding it in place. It
feels like it's going to turn your finger green.
It might. Yeah. It might. Topaz, though, is really good for jewelry because it's pretty hard. It's a hard.
Hard.
Boy.
It's a hard boy.
So on the Mohs scale, made by Friedrich Mohs, and he set up 10, you know, 10 standard minerals. And it's like they are like the markers of representing the numbers. Representing number 8 is topaz. Topaz is an 8 on the scale, and it's like the representative mineral that is on there.
Every time you say Mohs scale, I just think of Mo from like The Simpsons, the bar owner.
I think of Mohs Def.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time.
Of hardness.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. It sounds, the Mohs hardness scale sounds ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. Like I love the name Mohs hardness scale.
Hardness in particular seems like such an unscientific word. Hardness. Yeah.
Hardness.
It's the toughness of the rocks.
Ever so hard.
Ever so hard. Yard.
That also makes it the hardest silicate material.
Whoa.
This makes it so it can be cut into pretty nice gemstone shapes, and it won't crumble like some of your softer minerals will on the scale, like your lower numbers, like your 3s and whatnot. Yeah, they can't do it. But you got topaz, and topaz is down for anything.
Oh. Okay. He's DTF.
Yep, absolutely.
Down to be fundamentally sound. That's DTFS. Make it work.
We'll shop it. It's all right. We'll fix it in post. However, while it is a hard mineral stone, it is kind of brittle and it cleaves easy, or easier than its hardness would imply. So there's all kinds of different things. There's hardness, there's like the cleave rating, and all this other. Geology.com breaks it all down, but it's very confusing to me.
Cleave rating.
So topaz is just the name and where topaz is used and just the misidentifications. Topaz is just kind of muddy in history. So for like a long time, any yellowish kind of gems were just called topaz. And it didn't matter if they were like different ones, you know, like quartz or anything else that kind of it was like they were all topaz.
Seems sloppy.
Yeah, you know, and like, for instance, I saw something that was like, if you would have gone to like, in like the 50s, if you went into a jewelry store and wanted to see topaz, you would just be taken to a range of gemstones that were yellow, orange, and brown. It was almost like a color scheme instead of
you mean
the
that yellow rock. Shit?
Yeah, yeah. Are you sure? All right, we got it over here. Then kind of rolling into like the 70s and 80s, blue topaz hit the scene.
Oh.
And it hit the scene hard.
Huh.
And was everywhere. Oh. Like, my mom, I don't know if she still has it, but I remember growing up, she had this giant, it was like a big rectangle topaz ring. And it was like pale blue topaz ring. And it just fits that era because I know she got it in the 80s. I just know she got it in the 80s.
Please tell me that she still has that.
She probably does. It was a cool ass ring.
Sounds lit.
Yeah, it was either, I can't remember if it was a rectangle. Actually, I think now that it was like a rectangle or like a big oval, but it was just like a big chunk of pale blue topaz, and it was pretty sweet. It was a good piece.
Where'd she get it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's irradiated topaz or real topaz.
Some back alley it hasn't waited its time for the radiation to wear off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know, but it looked nice.
Your mom actually has superpowers.
She's just been mutating for years.
This ring is like, it's like fucking Green Lantern's ring.
I love the concept that a ring of power like that, like this is a topaz ring from the 80s. Yes. So it forms. I feel like it would just be neat to just. It's neat to me how you have like veins and shit of crystals and whatnot in the earth. Like that's just really cool to think about. And it forms in like these big voids of igneous rock. And basically, in the later stages of when the magma is cooling off, you get the formation of these topaz crystals.
Metal.
And during this degassing, apparently, it's like, oh, it's cooling and the gases are being released.
It's the fart state.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Fluorine is released during the fart state. And you need that for topaz. So there you go.
Topaz.
So you get topaz.
The fart stone.
It's fart stone. Mm. So I think this is cool as hell. And I have actually found things in rivers that look like this. And I didn't know. But it is commonly found by like riverbeds and in rivers and whatnot. And it is in a way almost like a kind of like river glass or sea glass.
Is that
like
what we're finding at Anahata's?
I wonder if some of it was. It kind of looks like some of what people found.
Huh.
And I don't know if it was that. And some of that was quartz, I think. But like it gets really, just like how sea glass gets really smooth and frosted, it will get the same way. But it's typically like a kind of a between clear and yellow color. Maybe like a citrine kind of color.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it looks really cool. And then also just a little fun fact about topaz. So blue topaz is the fourth anniversary celebration stone. So if I guess you're just one of those people that buys a ring every year of your anniversary that is, they've listed these all out. So fourth year is blue topaz and the 23rd anniversary is imperial topaz.
It's that much more important.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
And I can imagine that you give it to your partner who already has 23 other rings on their hands all the time. Like,
I get it. We're married.
They're just weighed down by the weight of these stones and their guilt to wear the stones. That's a long con, dude. Load your partner up with stones, then push them into a river. Get your insurance payout.
I think that there are more surefire ways to handle that situation.
But it's pretty lit. It's pretty it's a cool idea.
Yeah. It's very Grecian, I feel like. Like how, you know, like with the stones weighing down the gowns and just walking into the water. But it would be, I think, a little difficult.
It's romantic.
Just playing devil's advocate here.
What?
I think it would be a little difficult to get them to wear all the jewelry.
Charlie. It's like, you remember Diamond Bessie and her shit-ass husband?
Yes. Yes.
Wore all her jewelry after he murdered her out of town.
Fucking idiot.
Oh.
That ass.
Criminal.
So that was all from geology.com.
Great.
All that told me everything I ever needed to know about topaz. But let's roll in to the metaphys of topaz. So zodiac signs, we have Scorpio and Sagittarius, which fits with the birthstones and just it on the calendar and all of that. So, and also Leo.
Oh!
Yeah, which to me makes sense, especially when you get into the energy, but also the colors, you know, with a lot of it being, especially the treasured, a lot of the treasured topaz being like the yellows and the amber colors and the oranges and, you know, whatnot, and the reds. It's kind of very, it's very Leo-y.
Huh.
And the beauty of topaz coming in a bunch of natural colors means that you can use it for a lot of different reasons, especially if you incorporate color magic into your practice. And like you kind of follow the thing to where the color of the stone itself can lead to certain uses and whatnot that are like affected by that color. For instance, like you can do like sacral and solar work with the orange and the yellow shades, you know, and throat work with blue topaz, things like that. You can incorporate
it that
way.
Put a red one up your butt for the root.
Just boop, pop it up.
Yep. popping it up.
So this mellow energy of this stone helps in maintaining general optimism, faith, just engaging and being able to enjoy everyday things, little everyday enjoyments that you might miss or not pay attention to when you're in a lower state and you're just existing.
Okay.
You know. And it's it's big time solar stone, even in the shades of blue. And with the shades of blue, you can then kind of incorporate the magic of the entire sky, which is really neat. And the air in the sky. And so like, especially like I kind of, when I was just learning about this, my mind, it just kind of on its own made, like, started doing this own, like, throat opening, like, little meditation. And I was just, like, picturing myself, like, in this big, I mean, like, it's like a thing people talk about, like, big Texas skies, but they are big skies. They're blue and they are big. And like just being under just like this giant Texas sky with like all this wind blowing, like being in like a prairie and just looking up into this big sky and just feeling the wind cleansing and all of this and just all of the air and all of the space. And I just like felt my throat opening up. Like I just like felt it happening when I was thinking of it. It was really, really great. So it can be added into that because it does. It has like that ability of just kind of like, especially, and again, for me, I would only be doing this, and I'm kind of a stickler for like the structure of things, like how they're actually, you know, what they are. So I would only want to use natural blue topaz, which is expensive, you know? So I mean, it's just like, but if you, a lot of times topaz is an heirloom ring, is an heirloom stone, you know, it kind of gets passed down. So if you have, you know, topaz rings from family members or pieces, they could be, I incorporate my magic like jewelry in spells routinely. So imperial topaz, which is your orange hues, it can help with courage and confidence. But like good healthy courage and confidence, like not overcompensate, not like busting out the gate. Again, it's mellow, just like a kind of like an amping up a little bit of your essence, but in like a confident way. And, you know, it makes sense considering the color, and it
not,
kind
not
of
cocky.
No, not cocky, just kind of a natural elevation in your overall confidence and just kind of demeanor, whatever it is that you're wanting to, you know, what it's increasing. So there's a lot, I found a lot all over the place for, and this one kind of surprised me a little bit, but for topaz being used for connecting to higher realms, higher deities, perhaps the angel realm and angel communication, especially blue topaz, but it seems general in general, just topaz. And I don't really understand this. I don't dig too deep into like crystal magic, you know, to where it's like you get into the vibrational patterns of specific stones. And I don't know that at all. But I was like reading, you know, the vibrational patterns from topaz are like positive and negative. So it's like a two-way channel.
Oh,
I think if I'm understanding it right, I was honestly a little bit confused, but that's what I got out of it. And so it's good for kind of like the kind of cross veil, higher communication, apparently. And you can do this in meditation with like a stone on your third eye or something like that.
Swallow one.
Grid. Just put it up your butt. You can grid it out if you got one of those like cool little like cosmic spiritual geometry, you know, the grid pattern. You've got one of those, you can grid it out. You could pair it with your tools, your cards, or like your runes, pendulums, etc. But you can kind of incorporate it in if you're wanting to do that kind of communication, which the veil is thinning. So, you know, maybe you can call up, I don't know, somebody important on the phone.
I don't know, somebody important.
I incorporate my crystals the most in meditation. But also, well, I use them in candle magic and like to like build out the space, you know, to like, I kind of grid with them a little bit. Like in meditation, I use them a lot. And like when I'm in the bath, like I have my selenite tower at my head and my obsidian at my feet. And I'll kind of build around that, you know, but it's kind of like grounding energy in the feet, high energy up at the head, and I'll kind of add other things. And so I like to do, that's one of my favorite ways to use it is in meditation. But if you kind of rely on like divination type tools, then you can use it however. Also, and just kind of lastly, is a fun little tidbit. It can be a good crystal to carry around if you get the winter blues.
Oh,
it's a sunny stone. It's got that good warm energy to warm you right up. And as you know, as I for our hemisphere, we're about to roll into the colder months. So,
it's like a little
topaz, just
a pocket
around.
Of stew.
A handful of stew. Nice chowder.
Oh,
just soup it in your pocket.
I do like chowder.
Oh, yeah, baby. Clam
some,
chowder.
Some crackers on
me.
Top.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Mm.
You know, one thing that we didn't include up in the announcements that's a big fucking deal that we need to talk about that we're going to talk about right now is on October 6th, the Wabba Print Shop reopens.
That was like a movie trailer. Saga continues.
The gears all click back into place and the machines start
whirring.
Turning on. The paper starts doing that newspaper thing where it moves around on the conveyor belts, you know?
Yeah. And the news station's like, dee 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 dee.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hot, off the presses. Yes. Yeah, we'll buy a print shop. Open again. Fall print.
Fall.
Coming at you. It's beautiful. It's real good. And if you liked it, here's, if you liked the summer one, which the summer one was smash hit of the season.
The summer one had a certain je ne sais quoi about it.
The same kind of energy is rolling in to this fall print. I've not seen it at this point yet completed. She's kind of been keeping us updated with her, with the concept, as, and it's so gorgeous. I love it.
They're sister so prints.
Much. Yeah, they are. They are kind of like little, which would be cool because you have like, I was thinking about this because it's going to be like I want to get like a quadrant frame to hang all four, you know? And I was like, because you have like the little like cute, whimsical one that was at the first of the year, and then like the two goddesses, which will be diagonal, and then if she, you know, like depending on what it kind of like creates like a pattern in the frame, and I'm very excited about it. But it is launching October 6th. We're going to run it for 2 weeks as we always do, and we are closing it down at the end of the night on October 20th, so it gets a 2 week run. And that, listen folks, that's it. I can't stress that enough. That's it.
We're serious.
Yeah, we're not joking. When the store closes, it's done.
Yeah.
No mas.
No mas. Ever.
So if you want it, these will be signed. We're going to keep rolling on with the golden tickets.
If you want it. If you want it. Oh.
So.
Golden tickets.
Come and grab it.
What?
What does he say? Golden, come and grab it.
If you
what
want.
What does he say after if you want it?
If you want it.
Come. You can have it.
You can have it. Come and grab it.
Come and grab
Jesus.
It.
Jesus.
So, again, keep an eye out. October 6th coming up next week. We're launching. We're going to post it everywhere. You're going to hear about it a lot on October 6th. It will be the album art for this episode. And
for this episode?
For the October 6th episode, My bad. And check it out. These prints help us out a lot. They help support the show, and they spread Lyra's beautiful artwork literally all over the world, which is really cool.
Yeah, so support the show. Get some sweet ass artwork in the meantime. In the meantime? I mean, in exchange. You know how goods and services works. All right, dude. And I guess also like a huge flipping thanks to the sponsors of today's episode.
Absolutely. And again, check them out. Crane and Montero, Cat Cave Studio. Get that collection drop on October 6th and or October 1st at 6 p.m. Hit them up. Let's support our small businesses.
Hit them up.
Hit them up.
Slurp, slurp, slurping it up.
Slurping it up. Man, I feel almost like announcemented out.
Yeah, we've done our best announcer voices today.
Coven Karaoke today. Come check it out.
Oh, and there it is.
There it is. Do it. It's growing every week. I really enjoyed the past 2 weeks. I've enjoyed thoroughly. We did country, and then it was soul last week.
What is it today?
I haven't decided yet, because I usually decide at the last minute sometimes when I change my mind entirely. But I'm kind of feeling 80s.
Oh,
like
80s
fun
what?
80s music. Like 80s pop music.
Okay.
I've also been having in the back pocket like sappy love song day. Oh. And that's one that I'm chewing on too. So It just really depends on how my voice is tomorrow. If it's like super smooth, might be love song day. Or, you know, it just kind of depends.
What's a sappy love song to you?
Oh, well, here's the thing. I like sad love songs. Mm. I would want to come out of the gate or like open arms. That's not like that's sappy as hell.
Which
like
one?
That. So now I come to you with open arms. That one.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yes. I that way, or like going super sad with like The Winner Takes It All by ABBA. Just bring everyone down. Well, yeah.
You know, what are you gonna do?
Sometimes you just gotta. So
I will piggyback off of you and say I do enjoy a ridiculously sad and sappy love song.
Oh, it's great.
Pictures of You by The Cure is when you do that, that might be my jam.
I don't trust you.
You don't trust me to what?
You've hurt me in the past.
How?
You've never participated in my coven karaoke.
I'm shy.
Oh, God.
I'm so shy.
But, like, the beauty of it is that, like, you can just go away and do it. You know, like, nobody's there. You just, like, put your camera, go in the woods.
Go away. Yeah, I'll be. Yeah, people will be coming home from work and there'll be some fucking weird chick in the woods singing Pictures of You. I've been waiting so long. Yeah, good stuff. We have a Facebook group. We have several little subgroups too, one of which is about to be the clothing exchange. So come on over, see if you dig any of the stuff that's posted, see if you want to post anything you're trying to get rid of, and there'll be rules up.
That'd be cool. I have a lot of shit that I wouldn't mind unloading.
You go ahead and wash them, though, everybody, before you send them. If you don't, I will find you. Anyway, you can find the link to our Facebook on our everything, basically, on our website, wbahpodcast@gmail.com. Wait, nope. WBHpodcast.com. It's also linked down below. And you could also just search Which Amateur Hour No Bitch on Facebook, I guess. I don't know. You'll figure it out. We have a Twitter that still exists.
I do forget that we have a Twitter.
That's at Bitch Hour. We have an Instagram. Come peep these cute little mugs with little bean lids.
Forget about that giveaway, bro.
If you forget about that giveaway, I'll never forgive you.
It's running. Just 1 week. 1 week. Starting today.
Want
this cauldron mug. You want to feel how big and swooping this. You want to feel how powerful this handle makes you feel.
Yeah. With a big hot load of coffee in it.
I wasn't sure what that was going to be.
You heard
nicely done.
Let's see what else. We do have a Patreon where you can support the show if you're interested in the upcoming series where Macy and I do a deep dive into trashy, filthy, dirty romance novels with love? Question mark. Then check that out over on our Patreon. We will be adding that information very soon.
And it's almost certain, and Richard's Kitchen is going to be editing these too. So if you like the dryness,
yeah,
you're going to get more of that.
Am I evaporating?
Is this what you're going to get? You're going to get more of the Rocco laser, probably face zoom-ins that are going to be worse because we're going to be dry as possible.
We're going to be trying to not giggle as we say the word penis.
It's going to be very difficult. I would have enjoyed penis, honestly, by that point. That's better than...
What was it? Cack?
Cock, dick, like... Hey, so...
Were there any of the silly ones where they, like, it doesn't quite make sense, where they're like, his man rod or whatever?
I don't think so, but the woman's genitalia was at one point referred to as girly parts.
I remember that. I remember that, and I wanted to die.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I love you very much. I love all of you. I'm getting out of here because I'm very uncomfortable.
All right. Well, okay, good. I'm glad that that's made you uncomfortable. Good to know. Yeah. That's the goal. Uh-huh. We need to review these books in such a way as to make each other as uncomfortable as possible.
And you listening and watching.
Yeah. I want to make it deeply uncomfortable.
I want to make it a cringe fest for everyone involved.
Yeah, no one's truly going to enjoy it, but you come back because you like the pain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like a warhead candy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might make your mouth bleed,
yeah.
But you keep coming back for more.
And sometimes you try to put two in at the same time.
Topaz is a super optimistic.
Hey, I'm glad that the AC seems to be working now. Yeah, that worried me for a minute. Are you laughing? Why? Am I insisting on it?
What about the air conditioning?
I don't know.
Yeah, what was he saying?
I don't know. I'll never know.
Oh, wow.
he really just saw himself out of that situation.
Yeah, did he just turn and leave?
Yes.
Wow. You can just leave that in.
Dad.
All of it. All of this.
Dad. Wait. Pause. What were you saying about the AC? He won't answer me. He's just looking at me. He's laughing. Okay. All right.
Anything now.
Oh, okay. Bye. Okay. Okay, what's happening? Where are we?
Oh my goodness. So, being optimistic, Topaz is also like, it's got like mellow energy. It's got like some happy, mellow energy. I like to imagine Topaz having the energy of like a 5-year-old. Labrador.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. Not a puppy lab.
You know? Yeah, like when they've chilled out and they're great. They're great, 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 great dogs. Mm. Like, that's like what I picture with Topaz. Like, that's what we're talking about here. So, anyway.
Yes.
This mellow energy of this stone.